Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Is this good-looking people day? You should see the people that are in here. In fact, you can see the people in here because we're streaming live video today as an experiment over our OC Talk Radio Facebook page.
Just go to Facebook, type in OC Talk Radio, or Facebook/OC Talk Radio.
And I'm trying to connect on my own personal Facebook page, too, but I think Paul's got me blocked. I think he's trying to dominate the airwaves here today.
Dominate.
I got a couple of guests, and we're going to talk about...
If you only watch one show, watch this one, because this looks like they all dressed for success here today. They all look like they dressed to be on TV today.
Well, you know, especially given who we have in the room, it seemed appropriate. I mean, what do you want me to show up in? Like my cutoff jeans and, you know...
Oh, God,
that's a visual. I don't even want to remember.
I'm going to turn my light on
here. I could not pull off cutoff jeans for life right now.
I'm going to turn...
things that are not shorts? Like,
can I give you a fashion thing? I know very little about fashion.
Oh God, we're starting the show with Fashion Sense by Paul. Go ahead.
I get the Wall Street Journal every day.
Read
the Wall Street
Journal.
Shorts, and they had a big thing in the back in their lifestyle section about how cargo pants are out and have been out for 20 years. And they say people, these aging baby boomers like me, continue to wear these things and everybody thinks they look god-awful. I'm wearing cargo pants today. I think they're cool. I started wearing them in the 90s and I still wear them. And why give up? And
You young people who don't know what cargo pants are, they're where shorts get confused on their way to being pants, right?
Yeah.
They're sort of... Are they above the knees or below the knees?
I have them both ways, but I just feel so stupid because that's all I have in my wardrobe is cargo pants, and now I totally feel like a geek, nerd, dork, whatever.
They're not that bad.
Thank you.
All. Okay, so I'm going to introduce my guest because I have a real, real serious question about cargo pants. Okay. Cece's like, what the heck did I do to myself? Why am I in this?
I know this is a fashion show today, so I just started that off.
So my guests are Cece Layton and her husband, Ezra. And Cece is, I think it's the latest thing that you're doing, the collection, which is the Isla Vida, right?
Correct. The brand.
But you've done other fashion. This is just the resort wear that's inspired by the Caribbean that you're doing now, right?
This is the only fashion I've done.
Oh.
The only line that I have.
Okay, which is amazing. You know, you're focused on the ocean inspiration for your fashion, and Ezra and I basically, I was really happy. He's sitting next to me closer because, you know, we shared the scuba diving and the water thing, and Cece's like,
That's okay, you can do that.
I can do that.
And do you have a line of cargo pants?
There are no cargo pants, okay. Okay. Cargo is the way that her clothes actually make it to where she wants to go. But here's my question, okay, this is a very serious question. I'm sure a lot of guys, especially out there, are probably wanting to know this. I've been wanting to know this for years. What is the deal about the length of shorts?
Yes.
Above the knee, below the knee,
especially
with cargo pants, it gets really confusing. Like,
I wore some shorts
like
a couple months ago, and he started laughing
at
me.
I'm looking at your shorts, okay, and you're like 61, right? Like everybody who's ever watched the show knows, right? Because Paul reminds everybody he's just 61, he just turned. He's a baby boomer.
Right.
Is it a generational thing that shorts travel north as you are get older, or is it just old shorts?
I think it's fashion goes full circle, right? I mean, you remember the OPs, Paul? You remember
those were very short.
Now we go to the cargo, which are a little longer. Now today's younger generation, our son that's 14, wears the right below the knee or above the knee. So it's a full circle. It's what's in trend that you will see it change, come and go. Doesn't matter.
Is it safe to say that unless you're running track or playing on a girls' volleyball team, beach volleyball team, you should not be wearing something that's closer to your buttocks than it is to your knees?
No. Tom Selleck used to wear them on Magnum PI.
See, he's showing his generational thing.
Actually, Rad, I'm waiting for the dolphin shorts to come back. Once they come back in fashion.
Unfortunately, I have some friends that probably still have some of those.
Yes, probably.
Okay, I'm sure my age now. But, okay, so we're laughing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paul's laughing. He's sitting there in his shorts as they, you know.
As you're all laughing.
Just pull
at
those things down, will you, please? Right? But you know, I'm sitting right across from you. Good God, man. Right? But,
I got good legs.
Okay. You do have good legs. Okay. But we're having fun with this, and we're actually feeling good about talking about this, right? Because clothes are actually
transformational.
Transformational.
Correct.
And, you know, maybe we'll need to talk about Paul's transformation in clothing a bit more later. But
okay. He's comfortable in his transformation.
He is. He's sitting there.
See,
he's kind of
away. For those watching YouTube, here I am. See, I don't. You can't see my
shorts. You can't see your shorts, Paul. Let's show them
you
their
need
shorts.
You need to model for us, there Paul. Go. There you go. Strut your pose.
Nice legs, Paul.
Like it?
Come on. So it is transformational, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, have you always been into clothes? I mean, it sounds kind of like a weird question to ask for a woman, but... Have you always been into clothes?
Passionately, yes. But really, in my career was finance in London. That's where I've been for the over 17 years,
okay.
Where I was.
Okay.
But I've always had a heart for following fashion.
Okay.
And was there, like I told you, 17 years. Unfortunately, I developed carpal tunnel, which at the time I thought it was the worst thing that could ever happen to me. However, it actually was the best thing. Meaning that it truly put me in a spot where it made me realize, take a step back, of what I really wanted to do. What did I really want to pursue throughout life?
So how long had you been in the financial industry?
17 years.
17 years.
What did you
yes.
do in financial?
Oh, you name it, I did it. Managing secondary sales, operations, yes.
So clothing was important, though, in financials, right?
Absolutely. I always say, like we were talking about transformational, when you're going to go to that corporate meeting, that business, you know, interview, however important your client is, you want to look your best. And when you look your best, you're going to perform your best.
Right.
Same thing goes for luxury resort wear. When you're wearing something luxurious, you're looking your best, you're feeling glamorous, women are going to walk in there,
mm-hmm.
not only make a statement, but be memorable. That's what I want.
I'll tell you what's memorable about the way you're dressed today is that rock. That's the biggest ring I've seen in some time.
Oh,
let's
stop.
Let's hold that up here.
Stop.
I don't want to belittle
well,
your
look
carpal,
at you, Mr. Fashionista.
Your carpal
yeah.
tunnel.
Bam.
But that's a,
zoomed
that's
into
a
the
rock.
He's me down from head to toe.
That's a rock.
Well, you know. He doesn't usually get competition. I mean, he's the only one with closest to a resort wear in the room, usually.
That's it, exactly.
With the shorts, right?
I'm at the beach.
He's on vacation.
Yeah.
You guys are dreaming of living this.
And, okay, I mean, that's true, okay, because Paul, I don't know if you know this, but Paul has had multiple, transformations and career changes and along his journey of 61 years of life,
wow.
right? But... And he is now in, what would you call, this an encore career? Like this
yeah.
is, okay, a pursuit of passion, which is really what we're kind of talking about here, right?
Exactly.
Is this
that
is what he
chapter.
Chooses to wear, to project. And, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just, no, because look.
I've waited forever to be able to dress like this.
Well, good for you.
You know what?
You
I had short hair for the longest time, right? When I went and became an interior designer, I'm like, damn it, I am not cutting my hair, right?
Yeah.
We do stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna just step back again to the interior design thing. A couple of years ago, when I saw blank stares at me across the room, when I would step up there and I would talk about, you know, this is what we do. We go in and we select furniture and we, you know, and it's all this esoteric in the bubble. I'm talking to my audience in the bubble, and I realized nobody in the room basically had a clue what the hell I'm talking about,
right?
And I realized that the way to describe it, and funny enough, it ended up being fashion-based. I started talking about the fact that the, you know, where you conduct your business, Paul here, you know, this room that we're in, right, is a stage upon which you perform. And that if you, you know, if you're in service or product industry, nobody steal this. This is, you know, I trademarked this thing and copyrighted it, and there's like, you know, steel cages around this thing. But, you know, but basically, if you're in a product and service industry, at the end of the day, cut through all of the other stuff, we all put on a show and people applaud by giving us money. And
wow.
So
that really is pretty deep. I like that.
Right? The stage upon which you perform your show is equally important. And it's funny because we instinctively have a sense of, you know, I think women have a little bit more of this than guys only because you have so many varieties of like face, makeup,
style, accessories,
big rings.
So, but,
yeah.
but you know, but let's say you're about to put on a show. Depending what that show is, you're going out during the daytime, you're working, or you know, you're going out for an event in the evening. You instinctively know
that the makeup, the face that you put on is a certain way. Clothing is the same thing. The costume that you put on, same way, right? You instinctively kind of know that. What most people, where the breakdown happens, is when you actually go into that workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Or that environment. Homes, mm-hmm. we have a little bit more sense of because they're kind of where we live, mm-hmm. right? But it's very important. So you choose to dress the way you dress. I think as a reflection, like you said, I have been waiting all my life to dress like this and be working while I was dressed like this.
Yeah, right. And I'd be curious to get your feedback here, your guest feedback here. Well, first of all, we haven't had our husband speak up.
That's his role. He does it well. Now I love him.
Turn her mic off.
I like this woman already.
I'm just kidding.
You know what's funny, Paul? She texted me about an hour ago going, I'm feeling very nervous.
I don't think
I'm not seeing nervous.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Oh, you're nervous right now.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So here's my question.
Well, you were nervous, Will.
Two questions. The one that relates to the show. I'll start with that one. How did you make the turn? You said you had carpal tunnel. So mm-hmm. did that mean you had to stop working and find something else? And this is a point in your life. You don't seem like you're in this aging baby boomer. You're far from that.
I'm not that young, but I'm 42, which I have no problem saying.
Wow,
age. Yeah.
42. Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Paul. Remind everybody how old you are.
I'm 61.
Still young.
Still young. So... Is this your encore career, or there's another one coming?
Well,
at
why this, Cece? I mean, that's from finance to fashion.
This is about Rod's life, and through him, we're all on this journey where we don't know where we're going anymore. My dad worked for one company for 40 mm-hmm. years, and then he died. You know, we used to do this kind of. You went to school, you got married, mm-hmm. you had a career, you retired, you died. It was a pretty linear
line.
Well,
and we've talked about how the baby boomers, and I thanked you actually.
Yes, mm-hmm.
actually,
we broke that.
You broke that mold. You broke the fact that I had to basically pursue standard, institutionalized job types in order to basically have a meaningful profession, a meaningful mm-hmm. pursuit. You guys actually opened that wide.
And you
open.
Had to put 40 years or 30 years into something to get to the top.
Well, companies don't even won't hold you around long enough.
No.
I mean, loyalty has fallen apart on
companies
both sides.
Companies don't last. 40
I was going to say that. Yes,
but so why? I mean. We talk about the pursuit of passion mm-hmm. if you're fortunate, I think, a career path, mm-hmm. making that sort of financial reality also with that thing that feeds your soul. So why fashion?
Going back to how this started, mm-hmm. I've always had the need for fashion, to style, to dip into the magazines and stuff. I had that calling. However, because of the lending career that's very high demanding, there was never time for me to mm-hmm. do that. I always kept saying, when there's time. Unfortunately, I think that there's only two ways to really pursue your passion. One, that you actually do it yourself, mm-hmm. where you zone into it and pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes your part-time, well, eventually it'll be your full-time mm-hmm. in what you do. For me, I fall into that category where it was by force, where it took me out of work.
Right.
And it allowed me to truly look at myself and say, okay, this is the opportunity, which he told me. You could do anything you want. What is it? Most people don't have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Him who shall be
my
nameless.
Husband. Ezra.
No. And to Cece's point, Paul, is there was a time where she was discouraged because of the injury that she had. And we had an evening together, and I sat down with her and I said, Cece, if you could follow your passion, what would that be?
Mm-hmm.
Really take a moment to think about it, because it's a rare opportunity for a person to segue out of a corporate lifestyle, out of a mm-hmm. business lifestyle,
reboot.
To actually have a moment where they can define the new chapter in their life.
Yes.
And that next chapter for Cece, when she got to me, was fashion, which is pretty broad-based. But mm-hmm. she had a vision, which is so beautiful, is the vision that she had.
Mm-hmm. Which started with traveling. I Correct. Love traveling. One of my escapes from the corporate fast-paced life was traveling,
mm-hmm.
Where we truly shut our phones down. We get away from the busy, demanding of OC lifestyle that mm-hmm. we have. And to me, it was pieces that I started designing for myself that mm-hmm. could easily be transitioned from the beach to evening and anything in between. And not just any pieces, but pieces that would transform me, that would make me feel literally if I was in the red carpet, mm-hmm. but I'm walking down the beach.
So would you, and here's the second part of the question, would you have made that transition had it not been forced upon you? Or would this still just be a dream?
My heart the desire in my heart was there. But no, I would not, because I would not have had the time.
See, I think a lot of people are just like you. I think they say, I'm going to do something. Someday I'm going to do something here. Right. And it gets put off and put off and put off. I got to raise a family. I got to pay the bills. I got a good career. I'm making money at it here. And someday something else is going to happen. And maybe it's you get laid off. Maybe you get sick. Maybe you get divorced. Maybe, I don't know, there's some trans. More and more people come in. There's something forced. In my own case, I would not have opened this station and given up my pretty successful PR business had the Great Recession not come along and wiped out all my clients. Yeah. So I had to, I was forced to remake myself.
Same thing
five,
here.
6, 7 years ago. It wasn't that I, you know, if everybody comes in and says, oh, it's just so easy, I just sit down and think about what I'm going to do. It's hard. It's hard to make a transition.
Oh,
hard
it's
to make
definitely
a
it is. It was.
And I think you need a kick in the pants sometimes.
You do.
And what we all think, I thought, oh, my God, this is the end. I'm in my 50s and I've lost all my clients. What am I going to do?
Well,
and
Paul, I felt like that at 39. So.
Yeah. So somehow you have to reframe yourself and say, maybe this is an opportunity and not just a negative thing. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Go ahead, Desiree.
Well, I was going to say, to your point, there's a great speaker, I'm sure you're aware, Jim Rohn. Has put out a in YouTube, if you go onto YouTube, it's called The Day That Changes Your Life, or The Day That Turns Your Life Around. Hmm. And the day that turns your life around is the day that you say, I've had it. And it's weird how it can be a realization, whether it's that aha moment or just something that inspires you, as or maybe even, you know, an injury or whatever, that makes you take that step. And it's a bold step. It's a courageous step to say, you know what, from this point going forward, every day is going to define my passion and who I am. And I can't tell you how much I am encouraged and I am proud of Cece, because she has taken that bold step. And watching her encourages me as well.
So what do you do for a living?
I'm in real estate myself. So I am the broker for the McMonagle team. We are a coastal luxury real estate brokerage. Yes. And, you know, to segue into what Cece does, her clientele is of the luxury. They, you know, people who are typically jets that are globe traveling people. Her designs.
Don't say Trekkie. That means something else to me. People that have
tribbles. Not that type of trekker.
So, you know, the jet set lifestyle. And you brought up a very poignant thing. It was beautiful. Is the stage of life. So when we step out the door every day, we truly are stepping out onto the stage of life.
True.
And as much as we don't think about it, the way you have your appearance or the clothes you may put on, your apparel, can somewhat give you a sense of who you're going to be for that day. So if I go outside,
I'm going to be a bum today.
You're comfortable and casual. And I think that relates so much to what Cece's designs are behind, because if I go out in a suit, I'm more likely in a business mindset.
Clearly.
But with Cece's designs, they transition you from. So if I'm wearing a suit, I can't necessarily go to the beach and I'm going to be relaxing on the beach. But the beauty of her designs, and I've seen it in action, is how her designs, you can be on the beach enjoying, you know, sitting in Hawaii or the Caribbean, wherever, sitting enjoying a drink, and then that design can easily be transitioned to an evening wear.
To where the red we've carpet, gone by
out,
the way.
To the red carpet, where we've gone out to dinner. And I've even transitioned into a corporate opportunity.
And I'll say this, and then I'll shut up and
please.
Let Red jump back in. But I was in the entertainment industry for a number of years, as I've also disclosed. I was an entertainment. I started in my 30s as an entertainment PR person for Johnny Mathis, Anthony Quinn, Jose Feliz. Saw that, living that lifestyle. And I quickly learned that the people, you know, the Jennifer Anistons of the world, the celebrities, whoever the celebrities are today, when they show up, they have a different fashion sense than everybody else. Number one, a lot of them have stylists now because they're being watched and everything. They didn't so much in my day in the 80s. But I also realized when Steven Spielberg showed up at the meeting, he was the only one not in a suit. And that's what I aspired to. I had to be the only guys in the suits were the worker bees.
Yes.
You know, we were all trying, the really power brokers, when they showed up, when Norman Lear shows up in his goofy little white hat, or when Steven Spielberg shows up in his scruffy, you know, jacket or something, you think he's like the waiter or something. He got to a point where he said, that's how he defines that he's the power broker in the room. I don't have to appease anybody.
But see, what you're talking about is also, there's not a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
True.
No,
okay? When it comes to that.
And so the red carpet has changed dramatically, too. It's not the flowing gowns and everything else that it was once upon a time. There is a totally different reimagination of fashion, and this idea that We've been moving away from some time, my father's era of the Mad Men and the suits and ties and all that
which
kind of stuff.
Which, again, is back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's come back again.
There are no rules in fashion nowadays.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. So we're all redefining our own fashion.
Yeah. But I think that's reflective mm-hmm. of the society.
Yes.
I mean, in a way, like we were talking about, starting with the boomers, that breakdown in what is the rigid regularities of
norms.
Society and what
yeah.
is norms. I mean, what is normal, right?
Yeah.
So I remember one of my favorite things I had in the 80s was a T-shirt that said the word normal, but it was upside down. I mean, you know, this is... You know, it was a white T-shirt with a black line says normal, but it was upside down, right? And so there isn't that. And
right.
I think you can actually purposely, strategically even, go against the grain.
Yes.
In the right way.
In
yes.
the right way.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I agree.
That's why somebody said you have to know the rules first, and then you can break them.
Well, that's the whole
yes.
point.
Yes. Well, bend them. I
yes.
like to say
right.
bend them.
Right. And to Cece's point, and I think, Ezra, you mentioned it too, I think... We talk about this when it comes to space
yes.
or walking through a space, right? Especially I'll use the example of spas, is that, you know, you can come into, and I'll say specifically a day spa versus a resort spa because you're already in the mindset of being on a resort mm-hmm. kind of or an escape, right? But let's say a day spa, mm-hmm. okay? The challenge comes in actually transforming somebody from literally parking their car exactly mm-hmm. on the curb across from the door entry to that location to by the time they actually get through the locker room and into the lounge, they have transformed their mm-hmm. state of being to where now they are able to receive a 1 hour of pampering.
You've okay. talked about that, and I never would have thought of that before, but that's so powerful. You've got to go from you've got to turn the life off and turn the phone off and turn everything off in a few steps and enter a whole nother world where you put yourself in a different
frame of mind. Where I try to program into those spaces is literally not only are you physically turning off your phone, but you literally are turning, and most people have a tendency to go right.
Yes.
I mean, that's just,
yes.
especially in the Western Hemisphere other than in England, where everything is oriented to the left. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really funny. I posted a live video one time and somebody says, well, are you in England? Because I forgot to actually mirror the camera. So it was showing me driving on the wrong side of the road. Right? So, I mean, people are really receptive to stuff like that, right? It's funny. It took me like a whole day going, why are you asking me if I'm in England? Yeah. Well, I'm not in England, right? There's no signs. But we literally turn people. Like, we walk them through a lobby, and then we turn them. We physically cause mm-hmm. them to go in a direction, and then turn again. And by the time you've got one, two turns, your body is starting to pay attention to the fact that you're navigating through something that you leave behind where you came from, and you start receiving where you're going. And it's really kind of funny, because I think clothes have that same exact... Mm-hmm. I mean, the interiors of anything is literally, in my opinion, a wrapper. It's the clothing that a space is wearing, versus what you're wearing as a human being. But it has the same effect. And
beautiful.
Clothing does the same thing. I think if you put on a particular something, and it could be not necessarily trendy. It could be that it has an association. When I put on one of my dad's watches mm-hmm. that I have, and you know, still alive, but so it's not like a reminder of somebody mm-hmm. who was in my life. But when I put on a watch that I saw as a kid him wearing, mm-hmm. it puts me in a slightly different mindset for that day than it does when I'm wearing something that
sure.
I bought.
I think
beautiful
it allows you to experience those moments that
yeah.
you shared with him.
And hold on to them, and maybe
absolutely.
You're going through something and that anchors you, like if you're wearing something that gives
and
you
again,
empowerment.
And again, science is the same way.
Right.
It's experiencing, you don't necessarily have to go to that destination, whatever inspired me
right.
to. However, my desire is to inspire you to find your own tropical destination.
Mm. And to her point, one of the things that she brought up to me is you don't necessarily even have to leave your home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I did not capture, but she eloquently put to me is her pieces, even if you're going, let's say you have a pool in your backyard, mm-hmm. it transforms into an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can talk about that, babe, that even as you put on the clothing, you have a different sense of experience of who you are, much as when you walk into a spa or something to that effect.
Like virtual reality. It transforms you into some other place.
Absolutely.
You have a slogan or a saying that is attributed to you that's on your company page that says to live life to the fullest and
be true to yourself.
Be true to yourself.
Yes.
Right? I pontificated one day, and it took me 3 years to realize that I actually had a slogan because somebody had posted it on a picture of something during an interview, and 3 years later I'm going, oh, wait a minute, I got a slogan. And it turned out that what I had said while I was being flippant and pontificating is, we don't design interiors, we design experiences.
Exactly.
You don't design clothing. No. You design experiences.
I design a piece of paradise.
Passports to experiences.
A piece of paradise.
Yes.
Wow.
That's what I share.
I'm going to take some credit as a baby. Remember the baby boomers? You guys all said be true to yourself. I used to fight with my father in the 60s and 70s. What do you mean be true to yourself or find yourself? Or let's go out and get a job. Put a suit on and go out and get a job like I did. You think this is a job I dreamed of? I didn't dream of anything. I just dreamed of making money and having a house and everything. This idea of finding your passion, of being true to yourself, of going off following the path less taken, as Robert Frost used to say. I don't think that would have existed but for our generation, because that's not what the ethos was in the 60s when we started to come.
No, I'll say it again. I think baby boomers deserve
thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Yes. It's not really Paul we're thanking, the baby boomers.
He represents kind of him. Yeah. He represents.
Thank you for crossing your legs. But okay. But let
you
me
don't want my Sharon Stone invitation?
No, thank you.
Oh,
what, you're gonna boil a rabbit now? Glenn closed me now too. Okay. So okay, but I want to ask you. You brought up your dad, okay? So
yes.
I know that your dad has passed, and I know you took care of him in the end. But let me ask you something. Uh-huh. Given that was part of your experience,
right?
Okay, with your dad, later in life, when you, even though you were being told that, somehow navigated your own path,
right,
and did something that maybe was out of the norm for him.
Completely.
Right.
Yes, right.
Did you get to a point with your dad where there was a sense of appreciation from him that you had done that, or was it something that was just difficult for him to comprehend?
It was difficult for him to comprehend, but he did give me a poem. I should have it in here somewhere here that he put on a little plaque. And it was kind of like, if you don't try, you never you have to get out and try, basically. And it was almost like him saying, in some weird way, I sort of envy that you were able to do this. I don't understand it. I didn't always like it. I'm not sure you made as much money as you could have or should have if you had just joined a corporation and you know, risen up through the ranks like he did. But there was an appreciation of taking that journey. That
kind of doing what he didn't do,
maybe? Right, because I think he never really talked about it. There were a couple of times he thought of trying to do something different and just shook his head like, no, I'm not going to.
The ingrained nature is not there.
In fact, I'll just give you an example of a story that I always remember as a kid. My father was a regional manager for Chrysler Corporation. That's what he mostly did. And then he went a little higher and became vice president of marketing and some other things. So, for a guy who started off in the ghetto and never went to college and everything, this was just unbelievable. He literally started off in the assembly line when he was a kid. And so for him, this was more than he could ever achieve, the American dream. He was a regional manager in Milwaukee at one time. And he always told the story that he found a place for a dealership up in this little idyllic town, Appleton, Wisconsin. I've never been there, but he just thought this was an idyllic little by Lake Michigan, little college town and this little thing. And he found a place for a dealership, but they didn't have a dealer. And sometimes they would do this. They would develop a site until they found somebody to take it over. And so he kept developing, and they acquired the land, the company did, and they're doing the plans. And people kept saying, who's the dealer? Who's the dealer? And what he said is, I really thought I was going to be the dealer. If he said, if I'd had the nerve, I would have jumped out of the corporation. I would have planted us in this little idyllic town, and I would have been the car dealer. And he said, but I couldn't make that transition. And so eventually he gave it away to somebody else. And he talked about that his whole life. That was his one moment to sort of...
So almost a little regret.
His little paradise, his little place by the beach, his little shack by the beach. That was his kind of... And he pursued it for 6 months when he just kept building
But on the periphery.
Until he finally realized, I can't do this myself. Not that he couldn't have, but I can't.
Well, I know we're going to go to a break, so I'll tell you what. While we're at break, maybe try to find that poem, and we'll kick off with that when we come back.
Okay. Yeah.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
All right, we're back. Let's get the Rad Life on here.
So I want to just say, because something, you know, it's always fun what happens during the break. You know, we go out for drinks in the middle of the afternoon. Actually, you guys need to come back for the Christmas show.
Yeah,
oh, the Christmas show is a little crazy.
We started drinking.
I'm sure it'd be a lot more fun than this.
I don't know. This is pretty close.
Yeah,
I've
had a lot of fun. This is very close.
It's a lot more alcohol involved. Yeah, we start drinking like single malt scotch or something at like 12 o'clock or something on a Wednesday midweek.
I was wiped out for the rest of the day.
Paul was starting to reminisce about his 3 martini lunches back in the day.
That's right, back in the day.
But one of the things that came out during the break, for anybody who is joining us and who is still with us, is that we were talking about how, you know, should we interject people? Should, you know, while we're talking, you know, CeCe's like, you know, I'm going to be very proper and not going to, like, you know, interrupt you guys. And I'm like, no, interrupt us. Because the one thing that this show has done, and it was not something that I had planned, but I'm so grateful for Paul for the opportunity and for the way that this has unfolded, is that we as a society, we as human beings, do not have opportunities. At least I don't anymore in my life, to sit down and just talk to people and not have some sort of like agendized meeting or, you know, some Skype
points we're gonna
go meeting on Skype and I got to cross off all these points and then, you know, follow it up with an email and, you know, all this stuff. To just sit down and talk and to have sort of a loose direction of what you're going to talk about. Hey, how you doing? What was your week? You know, let's tell me what you've done. And then let that conversation unfold. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of
great insight comes out of it. Great wisdom.
And that's a family dinner, real quick, Paul.
It is a family.
Really?
Yes.
Back in the day, when I was growing up, and much to your point, the baby boomers, we always had to be home for dinner. Mm-hmm. You can go do whatever you want, but at 6 o'clock, the family came together, and that was the time to catch up on the day and what everybody was doing. And then after
and
that,
it was
you
okay to interrupt during family dinner too.
All the time,
start. Your day.
So, CeCe, in this next half of the show, we'll be interrupting quite a bit.
I'll be myself now.
She'll be more herself.
Well, let me interject this then.
So, read the poem
for
me.
You made me think of something I'd forgotten totally about. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman named Leo Biscaglia who was once known as Dr. Love. He was an American author and motivational speaker, wrote a lot of books. I didn't know he was the person behind this quote. I had to just sort of look it up and find it here. But here's what my dad gave. And he did this without saying anything. This is my typical.
How old was your dad when he gave you this?
He was definitely retired, so I'm going to say 60s, 70s, probably.
Did anything particular prompt it?
No.
He
put it up. He gave me a copy of it, and then he put it up in the house. Now, my dad never did anything impulsive. As I said, he had one career for his whole life, and that's what he really valued, that kind of stability. And and I grew up in the Midwest. Everything's stable and solid, and, you know, you kind of do – you don't go off and do wild adventures here. and that
so
was
Paul went
me.
To California.
I went to California, and I got into –
You're out of control, Paul.
And I was in the entertainment industry, and I did all sorts of other –
Keep
I was in the bar
crossed.
Business. I did all sorts of crazy things. So he just quietly gave this to me one day. No explanation ever to the day he died, never why or what it meant, but he gave this to me. And it says, the person who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing, and becomes nothing. He may avoid suffering and sorrow, but he simply cannot learn, feel, change, grow, or love. Chained by his certitude, that was my father, he is a slave. He has forfeited his freedom. Only the person who risks is truly free.
Wow.
I hadn't thought of that in years. I don't even know where that quote is. It's somewhere buried. Because it was so strange, I didn't know what to do with it. Yeah. I think I just stuck it in a drawer somewhere.
So you know what's interesting, given the lead up to this, what you shared about your dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting, right? This quote gave voice to a part of him that yes. maybe he couldn't verbalize.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to expound on that if I
please.
May.
Yes.
I think because you had mentioned that dealership where he had an opportunity to take that next step and
the road
follow
less traveled, follow a different
that
road.
Dream.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's one opportunity. Many of us, as we talked about, do not take an opportunity to mm-hmm. follow our passion. But I think what holds everyone back, and has myself, CC, and everybody in this room probably included, is the fear of failure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I read through John Maxwell, mm-hmm. and he has a book called Failing Forward, that
yes.
when you are mm-hmm. failing, you are actually on the right path. When mm-hmm. people are telling you you won't succeed, you know you're going in the right direction.
Yes.
Because out of those small little failures is growth and learning opportunities,
yes.
and you learn a little bit each time. So I'm thinking maybe when your dad gave you that quote, he was maybe reflecting back, like, yep. I should have taken that opportunity at that dealership.
Agreed.
Paul, I want you to take that next step. Follow your dream.
Yes.
Go to California.
Mm-hmm.
Become a producer.
Mm-hmm.
And here I have the pleasure of sitting with you today.
Yeah.
Imagine
uh-huh.
that.
Yet he never said that.
Yes, that poem says it all.
Do you remember about a year ago, we had a gentleman in here by the name of Steve Carpenter.
Yes.
And you and I and Steve did not even start down this path, but we ended up with a show. We were talking about shared experiences with our fathers. Do you remember that?
I vividly remember. That was one of the most powerful shows we did. And it just came out of this nowhere where we started talking. He started saying something. I said, and how he had tried lots of things, and his father wasn't always too supportive of it and understanding of it. I said, well, gee, I thought I was the only one that went through that. And then read some. Well, I kind of went through some of that, too, and everything. The three of us are talking about, you know, sons trying to live
sons,
up to your father's father,
dynamics, you know, mm-hmm.
trying to live up to their image and what they want you to do.
Openly or not, you know, communication issues. But it's very powerful because I agree with Ezra. I think in that particular case, your dad was not only expressing maybe a little bit of regret for not having risked, mm-hmm. but also I think underlying it was also a sense of trying to verbalize to you a support of what you are doing or you chose to do.
You get me all choked up here. I definitely felt there was something to it. But
it's one of my superpowers.
But it was so weird how he couldn't verbalize any of that ever.
No, but that's he just handed this to me.
Yeah,
he just did.
And my dad was not somebody who ever handed me a quote or any. I don't have lots of quotes from my dad here, you know.
And thank you for sharing that, Paul.
Yes,
because
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, my father is alive, and we do communicate, but we have a similar generational situation.
Yeah,
right. And so when people ask me, and I'm just going to say this on relevant to the show, okay, because it's just very poignant to me right now this minute, and it is my show, so I'm going to say.
we got time.
Okay, but really, okay, people. It's really funny. You know, people's like, oh, you've been doing this show for a year and a half. So, you know, how do you monetize this? How does it, you know, like, how does it,
what do you get out of it?
Help your business? And I'm like, maybe it doesn't have a direct enrichment to my business other than it does allow me to sit down with great people like CeCe and
meet
Ezra
people,
here
start
and,
conversations,
and have conversations and build relationships. However, I will tell you, it may not enrich my business. But it enriches my life for moments like you just shared.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's important. A lot of people do see. I partner up with a lot of local charities. And I always say the fashion people that work with me, you got to have two things. One, the passion for what you're doing.
Right.
And two, the generosity of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because when charities do call for them to participate, it's not always about writing a check,
right.
but donating your talent.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I, you know, get together? How can we get together to facilitate a need that the charity needs?
Have you ever seen the chair that Rod designed for the McDonald House?
I did. Oh. It was beautiful.
How
was
cool
beautiful
was
chair.
That?
Yeah. She was busy holding court on the pool table at the Beach Boat Plus. But, you know, but Cece, you just mentioned something that actually came up mm-hmm. when you and I first met, which was at Beach Boat mm-hmm. in Costa Mesa, and it was Tanya Brown was speaking.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then was also, and I can't remember the gentleman's last name.
Frank.
Right. I can get...
Frank Shankwitz,
who's the founder of the Make-A-Wiz. And that voice, if you're hearing it in the background, is Deborah Pearson, who is the coordinator of all our...
We'll turn her mic up here.
Oh, you got... Okay, say hi. Say hi, Deborah.
Deborah is in the house.
Okay. Woo-hoo! Deborah. So he said something very similar. Do you remember when he was talking about his own experience and back when he was like basically literally living, you know, in his mom had abandoned him and he mm-hmm. was in this small town in Arizona mm-hmm. and he's living in some older Latin lady's home where he's basically mm-hmm. trying to pay $25 a week to just have a room. And the guy who he's working for, his full-time job being, I think he was like bussing tables or something, was trying to and tell him that, you know, should always give.
Yes.
And he said, what do you mean? I have nothing to give. I'm trying to figure out $25 to pay for a room. And the guy's response to him was exactly what you
what
just kind of said.
There's always a way to give.
Right.
Whether it's, like you said, having a conversation with someone, sitting down, listening to someone can make such a dramatic impact. Mm-hmm. We all go through different issues in our lives, mm-hmm. but we go through the same emotions. And again, just sitting there, listening to them, or participating, donate your talent. Mm-hmm. Where the photographer, we all do events, right? Charities mm-hmm. do great events. They need that talent. Mm-hmm. Models, they need that talent. Mm-hmm. designers to style, bespoke styles you very well.
Dave does do a good job.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave.
So there's always a need where I think we can collaborate mm-hmm. and bring those talents together.
Well, and I'd like, you know, Cece is very humble about what she does, but I must say she has one of the most
generous. Well, that's
generous,
why you're in the room.
So. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
You're her press agent.
Yes. Right. No, she is one of the most generous people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And yeah. she actually took my heart of stone and softened it up quite a bit because.
The guy's a mush in
there. Yeah, she's a very loving, giving person. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't so much so when I was, you know, single and younger. And Cece very poignantly brought up that you have to give back. You can't always take from life, society, people without giving back. And that's one of the beautiful things about her. And she doesn't really talk about how much she gives, but she gives more than most people know. And she puts out to these charities. She puts her whole heart into it, and she looks for nothing back. And to her point, many people go into a charity event maybe looking for, what can I get out of this?
Yeah, right.
How can I make money off this? Maybe I can get some publicity. But
same thing, a radio show or anything, or social media or other things. Mm-hmm. So people put out stuff. Right. I know that we do a show, periodic show on fashion bloggers, and it's unbelievable to me, because I'm obviously not into the world of fashion, how many people there are who are doing this full-time, passionately, and maybe getting nothing other than some samples out of this stuff, but they are forming and changing the fashion scene in a way that we've never seen before, this ground up. I don't know if you see that or experience that, but there are millions of these fashion bloggers out there, and they each have some segment of followers, and they are very quickly, rapidly changing. It's not just a couple of design houses in Milan or Europe that meet once a year and design.
Oh,
here's the
fashion,
collection.
Yeah, definitely has changed the platform of it.
Well, we've got, I don't know, are you involved in this thing coming up with multiple sclerosis?
With the Bubbles and Brunch? Is that what you're talking about?
No, the Essex Skyline.
I'm
she's not
involved, but I will be a guest.
She's not that connected.
I do know
through
Dina
Rod,
Hodge, who's providing it.
Right.
But
okay.
Yes, the fashion show.
That's catwalks for catwalks for a cause. I think it was. Yeah, and that's going to be on. I'm going to give a plug. It's going to be Thursday tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Go to OC Fashion Showcase, I think it is, .com, or look up my posting on my Facebook page today. Tickets are $25. Food, music, fashion. You can come and laugh at me walking the runway.
Mm-hmm. You're going to walk the runway?
I'm going to walk. This is my second time
goodness.
After 50. So Paul keeps saying, I'm 61. I'm like, when I turn 50, Dave asked me to run the walk the runway, and I'm like, I'm going to run the runway, not walk it, right?
Yeah.
And then he just asked me again, and then I'm also sorry, Ezra.
I'll come with my cargo shorts.
You just don't sit in the front row. It's going to distract me. But I might get you on the – if you show up in cargo shorts, I'm getting you on the runway.
And you watch. People would go nuts if I did. If I walked out there in cargo shorts and a T-shirt, they would actually just go.
Now, can you bring your headset with you, too? Because I think it's just a nice accessory.
Yeah, the beard.
Okay. And then we are doing one in October that will be benefiting Ronald McDonald House. Okay? But it is. I mean, it's a way of giving, right?
It's the best way. I have the privilege, I say, to be able to do the two passions, which is designing and helping others, which I collaborate with, like I said, local charities.
You should give a plug, because I know there's a couple of
them.
Yes.
Tell them
a few of the ones you do, babe.
The ones that I'm looking forward to on October 6th is Parentheses, which is a foundation. We're going to have the foundation golf tournament. So all my golfers out there better show up.
Mm-hmm.
a great foundation. I partner up with the Big Brothers Big Sisters, where we've done fashion shows.
Great group.
Also the NEGU, Jesse's Reese Foundation, Kids Fighting Cancer, WHW, which represents...
Talk about WHW.
WHW is very dear to my heart as well, because how I met them was truly going to church and praying that God would align me with the right charity to start with. I think charities are really also very important to note that there's a good fit or there's not a good fit.
Right?
And it's not just about showing up, but truly making a difference. And WHW provides either the first business suit or adds to their attire, currently working individuals, nonprofit. Provides, again, like I said, the business suits for men and women.
With the mission being what, Cece?
To empower the individuals. Instead of a hand out, a hand up.
Is that sort of like working wardrobes?
Kind of.
It is.
Women helping women.
Women helping
but
women.
But it also engages men.
Now we have a division for men. But for any of you who donate your business suits, the gently used, please make sure that you look into that and donating. Because everything helps. That's where I started seeing the power firsthand of transformation of the attire, where women would come in there very troubled, unease, uncomfortable. But the minute, you know, I got a hold of them, of course, it would be, we're here to shop. We're going to style you. We're going to pick the best colors, the best cuts for you. But to encourage them, too, that, you know what, we all go through hard obstacles in life. And it's what we do from here on that makes the difference. And
well, clothes make the man. My father was a big believer in that. You know, he was a very stylish dresser, had a million suits and all that. And I was, of course, the opposite. I was just jeans and cargo shorts. You know, we're always the opposite. And I've heard wonderful things of how taking people who are homeless and dressing them up or out of work and putting a suit on them gives them a different sense of confidence or an ability to get something that they couldn't otherwise get. It isn't just the barrier to looking the part. It's taking on the part. It's becoming the part.
So, Cece, I want to make sure. Go ahead and give the website.
It is wwh.org.
And then what's your website?
Mine is cecilaislavida.com.
She's so giving, she almost forgot to promote her own business.
Yes. Right.
Spell it out, because Cece could be done a million ways.
C-E-C-E, Isla, I-S-L-A-V-I-D-A.com.
And Isla Vida.
Yeah, and that stands for the island life, which is
the island lifestyle.
Yes.
So people should go check it out. It's really beautiful stuff. And I didn't realize that you had done it purposely to where it's transformational during the course of the day.
Yes.
And it's also, now, where will you be exhibiting next, or where are you going to be showing next?
I'm going to be showcasing some of my new fall pieces at the Parentis Golf Tournament.
Which, give the date again?
It is October 6th.
And at the Pelican.
At the Pelican Hill.
Where else? Deborah, where can people get tickets?
You can go to www.parentisfoundation.org.
Spell that again.
P-A-R-E-N-T-I-S-H-E-A-L-T-H.
And we've had the Parentis folks over at the show, on the show before, and they're really great people. So it's a great cause.
Also benefits AARP and the Boys and Girls Club of Orange County.
So it works into old geezers.
Yeah, we got our fingers in everything.
The whole theme is bridging the gap between youth and maturity.
But 5 minutes left. I want to know. So you took this leap of faith. You were forced into it. It was scary. But it seems you're glowing about this. Your husband's glowing about this. You're doing all this good work. Has it been successful for you? Is this something you can sustain? Is the business growth? Let's talk about the hard business part of it.
It is very difficult. Everybody will tell you can't do it. It's a very competitive market. Well, I come from a background where everything's competitive. I understand the business aspect of it. But it's what sets you apart. How are you going to set yourself apart that makes the difference, right? And you have finding the right team, people who are aligned not only with your vision, But the charity, the the generosity vision.
Well, and
as
somebody's
got
to make it too, and everything, and you know, we've had lots of fashion stories where people had celebrities had well intentioned to do something positive and uplifting, but they're making it in Guatemala and paying them 10 cents an hour or something.
No,
well, that's the beauty of her designs.
Again, I always look at how I can contribute, how I can help, and it's done in a very small manufacturing company in Santa Ana, which is local, great for our economy.
Love that.
But it also helps the individuals. I know Arturo myself. We build a relationship. And I think that's the key. Going through business, your passion, your personal life, it's not what can I get from you, but what can I do for you? And let's build that relationship and make a greater impact around us.
And are your clothes being sold any place in... I don't even know how close you're selling.
Well, it's
anymore.
Online.
Is it all online?
Yes, it's online, but I'm very exclusive to Orange County. Mm-hmm. It's through private appointment, so I give that exclusive boutique experience to my clients.
People could call you up and say, I want to come in and look at this stuff. And,
absolutely.
Well, and they're custom fit, right? Unique,
yes.
One of a kind, so no one else is going to have that outfit that's made just for them.
Well, let me just
there's not a room with 40 different sizes of the same thing.
Here. No. They're very unique.
Let me share this, too, and how this is really, to your point, is it a moneymaker?
Okay. Yeah.
I have advised at least
three. Sustainable.
Okay,
I
have advised at least two clients that are high-end retail clients, and I'll throw the names out: Montage in Laguna Beach, and Surf and Sand in Laguna Beach. Right,
both pretty big clients. Right. Mm-hmm.
In regards to their retail,
right?
Okay, it is a missed opportunity, and if anybody's listening, you know, this isn't something I've said behind closed doors. I've said it to many people. It's a missed opportunity when somebody is actually escaping to Orange County and going and staying at some of these properties that their keepsake that they're going to take back home with them, okay, happens to be a sign of wood that says Life is a Beach that has a Made in China sticker on the back of it. Okay?
I agree.
Or some sort of T-shirt that comes in small, medium, or large and fades 2 days later. Right. You have talent everywhere.
Yes.
And specific
to
Orange County, there's local talent. There's local talent that's supporting local economy. Mm-hmm. There's local talent that is unique to this area. Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of stuff that should be promoted.
Well,
and should be celebrated because
I
it really
that.
Is
what
makes a unique experience at a unique destination.
Because I'm one of those, when I do travel, I want to bring something home. For me, it's usually just a T-shirt or something.
I think that's all of us.
And my wife says, don't you want to throw that away after 10 years? I know that. Or I get a smile every time I see that. We got that at the beach somewhere in, you know, Cape Cod or something here.
Well,
I just remember that.
One of the beautiful things, Cece, her designs are not only handcrafted, but she oversees the production herself.
Everything.
And you brought
I
up
design
a point
everything.
About the red carpet. I have seen on some of these shows, the Academy Awards, where two ladies spending thousands of dollars show up with the same dress.
Yes.
And the uniqueness of Cece's designs is no two are alike. So they're unique in their own, yet they all
like
have a theme
women.
Base behind them.
We're not alike. Now, one of us is alike, and that's what I want. I want to highlight, bring out the beauty within them.
Wow, that's a power. There's something to be said there. Have you ever thought of opening your own boutique store or a place where you would people go and shop? You know, in Beverly Hills, there were men's shops. I'm trying to remember some of the more famous ones. Rick Palak, I think, was one up there or something. But they're probably all gone by now. But there were places that would dress the celebrities that were kind of meant.
Very specific.
And very specific, and they would go in and tailor.
Retail as a whole has changed so much.
Yeah, maybe that's dating myself here.
It has a lot to do with, obviously, land cost and rents and leases and all of that stuff. But I think again, the doors and the walls have been blown off how we shop.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be only Black Friday, you know, or the day before Thanksgiving, you know, or something like that. Now it's the whole year.
I get my cargo pants online.
You do?
Cargo pants.
Does somebody fit you? I don't want to know. I do not want to know. Okay. But no, I mean, it's changed.
Right.
So in a way, it might not even be supportive of your exclusivity to have it in a retail store. Now, if you had maybe a fitting room, like, you know, our friend Dave, you know, their space is basically, it's bespoke clothing for men and women, but they literally, it's just a fitting room. It's like a clubhouse that
it's a man cave.
Right.
Yes.
So I think, to your point, Paul, that whole thing has changed. And how you deliver on the uniqueness of your stuff is now, again, as personalized as a person.
Do you reach out to personal stylists then or something? Or there are people who are hired by wealthy, successful people.
Well, she has exclusive experiences, and yeah. you know, whether it's at
great,
the person's home or
yes.
at a trunk show.
What I want to share with them is that experience of me being there for them and sharing that piece of paradise, and not only just saying this is a great piece, let me tell you why this fits
and why
great
it works
for you.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
let's go through your wardrobe and mm-hmm. see how we can style it with different.
And this is just for women or for men too?
It's just for women. Sorry,
oh,
Paul.
Damn it! I thought
you
I was
would
get
probably
a free
look
here.
Pretty good in one.
I got good legs.
Yeah,
got
yeah.
a minute. I got
I'm hearing him catch the bug here.
He's loving the paradise.
So let's we're almost out of time,
yes.
right, Paul? Okay,
yes.
So go ahead and give the website again.
It's ccelaislavida.com.
Okay, and
ccelaislavida.com.
Laislavida.com with CC before it.
C-E-C-E.
Thank you.
LAISAVIDA.com.
And it's I know you're on Facebook, you know, on social
yes.
media, and that you guys have the website. You need to check it out. And, yeah, I think, I mean, it's amazing. You know, I don't know where these shows are going to go.
No.
And then we sit down, we talk. And
they fly by.
And they fly
yes,
by.
They
it was a word the hour ago, right?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Brad, Deborah,
yes, before we
Paul,
go, I want to thank everyone in this room
yes.
for having
thank
us on.
You.
No,
Brad, Paul, Deborah.
Thanks for coming by. Our pleasure, guys. And, yes.
You really do epitomize what this show is about, which mm-hmm. is we're on this journey. We don't know where we're headed, mm-hmm. but change is afoot. And we have to find our passion and ride the change rather than fight the change.
Well, and have
just make it happen.
Have the courage. To own your own story.
Yes.
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's really easy. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to sacrifice or give up the uniqueness of your own story
Correct.
In life.
And I would like to say to your audience to take that bold step. Follow your dreams. Yeah. I cannot tell you, I am so proud of my wife for making that step, and it's a very courageous one, and I love her
but
very much.
But I couldn't
much.
Do it without my partner, truly, not only in my
help
marriage,
and support and
but in my passion. I mean, he's been a bartender, he's been a valet guy, he's been a butler, anything that... You know, we ask him to do for charity, he's there to do it.
Right.
What a great duo.
To your point, yeah, it's not just the person. You know, surround yourself with mm-hmm. people, that
yes.
your tribe, if you will,
yes.
that are that understand, that get it, that share that passion
mm-hmm.
For you and for what you're doing and support you. Thank you very much, guys,
Thank
for
you.
Being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll have everybody over again. Join us next Wednesday for another episode of The Rad Life.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.